Blog Talk Radio. infiltrated all the corporate news. They call shots, I call audibles. Shake up the jeweler, baubles, the rain sort of do. It's big ballin', baby, when I'm courting you. I'm talking spy bags and fly pads and rooms at the Bloomberg and rumors. You on the verge of a new merge, cause that rock on your fingers like a tumor. You can't fit your hand in your new purse. It's humorous to me, they watching and we just jotting Allen, hopping off of your mafia coast, mafioso. Oh baby, you ever seen satin? No, not the car, but everywhere we are. You sure to see stars, this is high level, not eye level. My bezel, courtesy your Audemars, I order yours tomorrow. Now look at the time I saved ya, mama let me upgrade ya.
Just when you think you had it all, big income, no collecting cars, picture your life elevated with me, make you my project celebrity, I keep your name on little green eyes, that makes the diamond really shine, and you already is a star, but unless you're flawless, then your dynasty ain't complete without a cheap
pocket.
Hermes briefcase, Cartier pot clip, silk line blazers, diamond cream facial, CBS cufflinks, six star pin tweet, final let me upgrade you, grade you, final let me upgrade you, grade you, let me upgrade you, grade you, final let me upgrade you.
Hello, my beautiful people. I am back. Yes, so blessed and so thankful to be here with you all tonight. Welcome. You are now in the Twilight Zone. No, I'm just tripping. Welcome back, y'all. This season is going to be the Biden-Harris administration, and today the topic is stomping out the big bad bully. I am so thankful again for you all coming and listening to the show. This season we're going to be on every second and fourth Monday from October to I think it's going to be February, March. So it's 10 shows altogether. So I'll be looking forward to seeing you all on every second and fourth Monday. Not today, but starting probably the next show, I'm going to incorporate doing Facebook Live and also try to get the Instagram also while we're doing the show, so more people can know what's going on, join the conversation, and, you know, get into the know of what's going on. You know, we have been in this awakening for a couple of years now, so, you know, everybody should be woke and see what's going on. The only way that you're asleep right now and don't know what's going on is by choice. Your own will and your own choice to ignore the facts and see what's going on out there. Currently, Biden is, you know, pressing these mandatory vaccinations. So let's get into it. So I feel that the Biden and Harris administration, and I just want to, first of all, give a disclaimer, and this is just one person's opinion. This is also for entertainment purposes and for the purpose of entertaining and just giving my recall of what's going on. So, and hopefully we're covered by Chapter 72. As you all know, that we have Biden has been stressing these mandatory vaccinations. Now, the reason that I say that it's on, it's becoming to be the, you could, I could say borderline, but it's becoming to be bullying. You know, he's bullying the whole country, basically, because, you know, we have constitutional rights as citizens of the United States. We have constitutional rights. We have freedom of press. We have freedom of religion. We have freedoms that this Biden and Harris administration is seemingly to not even care about. Like, they represent the Democrats, but it's like they're it's like a I guess you would say a government where everybody has to do what the president says do, and you know, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Here in the currently in the United States, we have a lot of freedoms that other countries just basically don't have. Like, the people have to do what is said, or you know, they're in prison camps and different stuff like that. You also have people that's, you know, in droves that's leaving their country and trying to escape their country and walking over borders and even coming to into the United States trying to get refuge from other countries. So that's what's going on in other countries, totalitarian rule, and seeming as if Biden has just taken America and is like in totality, he is, you know, not worrying about, you know, the people, which in the Constitution is this for the people, by the people. So how is it for the people, by the people, is you're doing things against people's will and constitutional rights. So we all know this, and not only that, it's people like here in Texas, we have Clay Jenkins, who's a judge who, you know, is DISD, which is the school system here in Dallas, Texas, who is also, you know, violating people's right to, you know, to their violated people rights to have their right, their wills, you know, their rights to their religion and their freedoms and their freedoms, you know. I'm sorry, y'all. Like, it's getting out of control. It's getting totally out of control. Now, it's okay to, you know, to say that, okay, you want to get people vaccinated, but it's not okay to say that, you know, you have to be vaccinated, you know, against your will and your right as a person, because we are natural-born people who have natural systems, natural immune systems that, you know, we've been told, or, you know, scientists even say that our immune system, that's the purpose of the immune system, period. That is a system inside of your body. It's the immune system. Immunity. This is a system that we already have inside of our body. So why do we need some outside foreign entity to give us immunity when it's something that we already have. So, first of all, Biden came in and charged people up and said, if you're not, excuse me, y'all, if you're not for me, if you're not black, and you're not, if you're not voting for me, you're not black. So he wanted the black people vote, but, and he said he would do things for black people, but has yet to do anything concrete for black people. Like, he's done stuff for Indian and indigenous or whoever, but today, and I'm not just going to say today, but since we started this show, you know, the truth has been coming out, and we're not going to stop today. We're going to apply pressure. We're going to keep our foot on these people's necks, and we're going to keep bringing the truth, because the truth is going to set us free. The truth is going to set us free from a system that has bullied us for our whole life. Like, telling us we have to pull ourselves, our own selves up from our bootstraps is like, you know, like you don't care. Like you don't have a heart. Now, there are some studies that says that the Caucasoids have small pineal glands. So I'm wondering if the pineal gland have a lot to do with our spiritual connections and thoughts of, let me see how I'm going to say that. Y'all, forgive me. I did not write anything down today. I wanted to do the show, you know, freestyle, fully from my heart. I want to give you the real deal. I didn't want to, you know, write it down and it seemed like it's something pre-done or pre. I wanted to give y'all something real today. Now, that's not going to say that I'm not going to write stuff down for the next and have and present you all with slides or information however you want it. But this is the first show, and I should have it together because I've been doing this for, what, 2 years now? 2-3 years? This is like the third year. Yay. But I like to do freestyles. I do, because it's straight from the heart. It's real. You know, it's my truth. It's, you know, how I'm really feeling. Like, it's a real conversation. Like, if someone come over and you're on the phone, we're going to have real conversations over here. You know, it's nothing fake. It's nothing pumped up. It's not scripted or anything like that. You know, this is just reality. This is real reality TV or news radio over here. So, but to get to the back on the subject, of why, you know, I think that this administration have been bullies. Just to give you a background on my experience with bullying, I actually, you know, from elementary was bullied myself. You know, in elementary, I was like skinny as heck. I was skinny. You know, I didn't eat, my grandmama, you know, we didn't eat out a lot then. I stayed with my grandmama and we didn't eat out. My grandmama cooked real food, soul food. And, you know, I was at a young age, I didn't like a lot of that stuff. So, you know, and when we was young, if you didn't like what was being cooked, you ain't going to eat. So, you know, I mean, I probably got used to that. I don't know. But, you know, I was really skinny. I don't know if that's why I was really skinny or if it was genetics. But I was really skinny, and in elementary, people used to call me dope fiend. You know what I'm saying? And it was hurtful. It was hurtful. But in those days, there were sayings like, we had sayings like, sticks and stones would break my bones, but words would never do. That helped me. That helped me a lot, you know, not worry about the things that people said to me. Even at the end of elementary, I was able to even, you know, laugh about it, you know, myself. Even though it was still hurtful, but, you know, I was able to, you know, I guess coping or I ain't going to say that I laughed about it, because like I said, it was hurtful, but I do remember, like, you know, how in fifth grade you have the books and stuff and everybody's signing each other books and stuff. And, you know, I have a best friend. I signed her book, and I just made the joke of, and I signed it, dope thing, you know. And I made a joke out of it, you know. But even though it was hurtful, you know, I guess the joking and ignoring people and, you know, the saying sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never do, it really got me through. Because, I mean, that wasn't the last time that I was bullied. I was actually bullied, like, if you want to say, like, damn near my whole freaking life, I was bullied in different scenarios. Even sometimes, you know, my mom bullied me, you know. So the bullying topic is, you know, really close to my heart. And not only that, you know, it's like we need to put a stop to bullying. I don't know if you listen to the news, but here in Dallas, we just recently had an incident where, you know, a young guy was in school and kids were bullying him to the detriment where the guy was just beating this guy to, you know, really bad. He wasn't fighting back. I don't know why he wasn't fighting back, because you're in the hood, you got to fight back. But I don't know if that's something his mom told him or if he was just in a state of shock. And, you know, because, you know, some people have hearts that, you know, they don't like to fight. They don't. But, you know, this guy, you know, after being beaten by this young guy numerous of times, he went and got a gun and went back into school and tried to shoot this guy. Now, it's not your typical shooting where, you know, we have people going into the schools and just randomly just shooting everybody because, you know, even those people were victims of bullying sometimes, you know. Like, bullying is a really, 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 you know, big thing that people don't take into account until situations to where somebody is shooting up everything because they're trying to, you know, fight back, and or they're, you know, they're trying to protect themselves, you know. Sometimes in this life it's kill or be killed. Sometimes it's survival of the fittest, you know. Like, in his situation, I would say that it was a crime of passion because, you know, he just got, like, beat. Like, his mind state, he wasn't in his correct mind when he went and did that, you know? So But, you know, and that's not to, you know, say that it's okay either, because, you know, I was taught, you know, once you walk away from a situation or y'all have parted ways, like, to go back and do something, like, that's a crime. So, you know, we have a young guy here who is going to, you know, be in the system now. And it's all because, you know, people wanted to bully him, or, you know, some people say that it wasn't bullying, that, you know, he took some from somebody and somebody, you know, retaliated and beat him up, and then, you know, he retaliated by shooting. Well, everybody's seeing that, you know, this guy is keep getting beat up, or people bothering him, or whatever the situation may be, but nobody is saying anything. And, you know, they said that his parent came to the school two or three times because of similar situations. Well, the type of parent that I am, that school and that principal, they will hear from me, because, you know, it wouldn't even have to get to this before, you know, if he was truly being bullied, it shouldn't have gotten to this before something was done to those kids for them to know that they was in the wrong. Like, if the principals and stuff was not doing anything, the school board should have known what was going on. Like, parents, if you don't take the initiative and fight for your children, then they're going to make bad decisions and get themselves in troubles like this. Like, when our kids get to certain ages, I know people want to just let them go their way, but you are still their guide. You are still their protector until at least maybe they're like 35 or 40. Then, you know, I think in the Bible, in olden times, like 37 is when a guy actually became or was in his manhood. He was a man. Before that, he was a young man learning to be a man, you know, still up under the tutelage of his father, which, you know, we know is another big issue in the United States with, you know, fathers not being in the household. Like, if his father was in the household, like, I don't understand why, you know, the school board or something wasn't done before it got to the situation that it was at. And then if this child had just had a situation the day before, I probably wouldn't even let my kid go to school that next day, for, you know, I would have let it calm down. Or, you know, we you know, a lot of people is programmed to, I guess, what you could call, like, hood shit. Like, you know, it's a common thing for people to, you know, talk about people and, you know, have, I guess, it's going to be comedian in every class, you know. And, like, I remember being bullied on the school bus, you know, but like I said, you have to have coping mechanisms. Parents, you got to be able to teach your kids, and we got to start living by examples, because we can say anything all day long, but if we're not actually living it and our kids don't actually see us doing it, then they might just go the other way and say, well, I think you're doing this, so I'm going to do this. So we actually have to be cognizant of the things that we are teaching our children, and we have to start living by being living example of what we're actually trying to teach these kids these days. Because, like, if the parents knew the law and they would have taught their son the law, the son probably would have known that, you know, after he left the situation, that for him to go back and shoot, that he was probably going to, you know, be in trouble. Maybe they would have, you know, took other measures when he got assaulted the first time, and maybe called the police, made reports, or, you know, reported it to the school, and or even, you know, transferred. And it's crazy because I remember my kids having the same issues. But what I taught my kids, you have to face the bullies. You have to face the bullies. It's just like fear. Any fear in your life, you're going to have to face it one way or the other in order to move past it, in order to elevate. Now, there are some fears that are, you know, I guess, warning. So you have to, like, start paying attention to life. A lot of people is, you know, going around just living and not even paying attention to what's really going on. But we need to start paying attention. And we need to start stomping out the bullies. It's time to stop allowing ourselves to be bullied, especially bullied by a government that is supposed to be by the people, for the people. So I have a couple of clips today that we're going to run, and we're going to get into. It's not too long, but I want to go ahead and get off into the clips. The clips are of Biden, and he's going to be talking about it's a couple of clips about Biden, and he's going to be talking about the money that he's trying to get the Congress to. He's trying to get Congress to actually okay, because, you know, he wants to give money to other countries. He wants to give money to, you know, immigrants coming into the country. But, you know, there are people who was on unemployment and their unemployment stopped. We are still in a state of emergency. It's still a pandemic. So if you want to keep this pandemic going on, because Trump tried to end this pandemic. Trump tried to end this pandemic so people can go to work, so people can have regular lives or what seem like regular, or be able to take care of their people. Because, you know, if we can't go to work, then a lot of people live check to check, paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of people won't be able to take care of themselves because, you know, they're not, no one, I'm not going to say no one, but a lot of people is not, don't have their own food. They're not growing their own food at home. They're not, we don't have wells anymore in our yards because in the 80s, you know, the little girl fell in the well, so they closed all the wells. So nobody have access to well water. So now you're controlled by a government, and at times you're bullied by the government because you don't have access to your own food. You don't have access to all these things. So anyways, we're going to go ahead, give me just a couple minutes, y'all, and we're going to go into the clips, and we're going to listen to the clips, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about the, we'll talk more about bullying, and we're also going to touch on the, what Dave Chappelle was talking about in his new stand-up comedy. I really think that, you know, he was actually talking about bullying, you know, and it's so coincidence. I think I came up with the idea for this show maybe a couple weeks ago, but ever since I came up with the idea for this show on bullying, like, it has been bullying going on, like, everywhere. Like, everywhere. So I really think that it's really time to stomp out the bullies. But we're going to listen to these clips, and I'll be back. All right? All right.
Obligations for our people and for our nation. We're able to meet these obligations based on the revenue we receive from taxes and based on our ability to borrow what when needed. And in that case, we're able to borrow because we always pay our debt. We always pay what we owe. We've never failed. That's America. That's who we are. That's what's called for. It's called full faith and credit of the United States. It's rock solid. It's the best in the world. But here's the deal. There's a cap on what we can borrow called the debt limit. And only Congress can raise or lower that debt limit. So let me be really clear. This is really important to know. Raising the debt limit is about paying off our old debts. There's nothing to do with any new spending being considered. There's nothing to do with my plan for infrastructure or building back better. Zero. Zero. Both of which, I might add, are paid for. So if we're going to make good on what's already been approved by previous Congresses and previous presidents and parties, we have to pay for it. Social Security benefits, American people are promised, salaries for servicemen and women, benefits for veterans. We're going to have to raise the debt limit if we're going to meet those obligations. And raising the debt limit is usually a bipartisan undertaking, and it should be. That's what is not happening today. The reason we have to raise the debt limit is in part because of the reckless tax and spending policies under the previous Trump administration. In 4 years, they incurred nearly $8 trillion. In 4 years, $8 trillion in additional debt and bills we have to now pay off. That's more than a quarter of the entire debt incurred now outstanding after more than 200 years. And Republicans in Congress raised the debt 3 times when Donald Trump was president, and each time with Democrat support. But now they won't raise it, even though they're responsible for more than $8 trillion in bills incurred in 4 years under the previous administration. That's what we'd be paying off. They won't raise it, even though defaulting on the debt would lead to self-inflicted wound that takes our economy over a cliff and risk jobs and retirement savings, Social Security benefits, salaries for service members, benefits for veterans, and so much more. A failure to raise the debt limit will call into question Congress's willingness to meet our obligations that we've already incurred, not new ones, we've already incurred. This is going to undermine the safety of U.S. Treasury securities, and it will threaten the reserve status of the dollar as the world's currency that the world relies on. American credit rating will be downgraded. Interest rates will rise for mortgages, auto loans, credit cards, borrowing. Folks, watching at home, you should know this is the Republican position. Here's it is. They won't vote to raise the debt limit to cover their own spending. Democrats voted with them to cover that spending the previous four years. They say Democrats should do it alone. But then they're threatening to use a procedural power called the filibuster, meaning that we have to get 60 votes, not 50 votes, to increase the debt limit. This would block the Democrats from meeting their obligations and responsibilities to prevent Congress from raising the debt limit. So let's be clear. Not only are Republicans refusing to do their job, they're threatening to use the power, their power, to prevent us from doing our job, saving the economy from a catastrophic event. I think, quite frankly, it's hypocritical, dangerous, and disgraceful. Their obstruction and irresponsibility knows absolutely no bounds, excuse me, especially as we're clawing our way out of this pandemic. Democrats will meet our responsibility and obligation to this country. We're not expecting Republicans to do their part. They made it clear from the beginning. We tried asking to no avail. We're just asking them not to use procedural tricks to block us from doing the job that they won't do. Meteor is headed to crash into our economy. Democrats are willing to do all the work stopping it. Republicans just have to let us do our job. Just get out of the way. You don't want to help save the country? Get out of the way so you don't destroy it. We don't have time to delay with elaborate procedural schemes, which Republicans' proposals require. Scores of votes without any certainty at all, many of which have nothing to do with the debt limit at all. And that's when accidents happen. In the days ahead, even before the default date, people may see the value of their retirement accounts shrink. They may see interest rates go up, which will ultimately raise their mortgage payments and car payments. And the American people, look, I just say it this way. As soon as this week, your savings in your pocket, your pocketbook could be directly impacted by this Republican stunt. It's as simple as that. Republicans say they will not do their part to avoid this needless calamity. So be it. But they need to stop playing Russian roulette with the U.S. economy. It's one thing to pay our debts already acquired. It's another to require a supermajority to pay the debts already acquired. It's not right. Let the Democrats vote to raise the debt ceiling this week, without obstruction or further delays. Democrats in the House have already passed a bill that would do that. It's sitting in the United States Senate where Democrats have the votes ready to pass it. That's the only way to eliminate the uncertainty and risk that's going to harm American families and our economy. Let us vote and end the mess. You know, we've got to get this done. We must get this done. It is, like, as I said, playing Russian roulette to play these games. We can do it this week. Just get out of the way and let us pass it. Thank you.
Mr. President, Senator Mitch McConnell says he has sent a letter to you explaining his views. Have you seen that letter and communicated with him? And how dire do you believe this is if action doesn't take place in the next few years?
First of all, I did get a letter. I got it 10 minutes before I walked in here. I've read it. I plan on talking to Mitch about it. He and I have been down this road once before, back when I was vice president. And I hope we can have some intelligent and honest conversation about what he's proposing. And I think the easiest way to do this, and if the Republicans would not use the filibuster, would be to let us vote on what is already in the Senate right now, passed by the House, to raise the debt limit. And we could do that in the next several days.
Thank you, Mr. President. You've often touted your experience in the Senate, your 36 years in the Senate, your aides have talked about your ability to be a closer on deals involving legislation. Why were you unable, Mr. President, to close the deal with members of your own party on key parts of your legislative agenda last week?
I've been able to close the deal with 99% of my party. two people. It's still underway. I don't think there's been a president who's been able to close deals that's been in a position where he has only 50 votes in the Senate and a bare majority in the House. It's a process. It's a process. We'll get it done.
It sounds like you're putting the blame squarely on two U.S. senators for your inability to close that deal, Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin. Am I incorrect? Is that who the blame lies with?
I need 50 votes in the Senate. I have 48.
Leader Schumer has vowed not to raise the debt ceiling through the reconciliation process. So ultimately, Leader Schumer has said he won't raise the debt ceiling through the reconciliation process. So ultimately, if push comes to shove and Senator McConnell does not change his position, what is more important, that position that Senator Schumer has or raising the debt ceiling? And I also have a question for you on Ethiopia.
I'm not going to answer Ethiopia. Let's stick on the debt so we don't confuse the American people. Number one, the issue of reconciliation, which is like code to the American people. Well, what's reconciliation? There is a process that I understand the Republican leader is willing to initiate, go through, that would require literally up to hundreds of votes, some limited number of votes having nothing directly to do with the debt limit. Could be for everything from Ethiopia to anything else that has nothing to do with the debt limit. And it's fraught with all kinds of potential danger for miscalculation. And it would have to happen twice. So you could literally have several hundred votes over the next number of days. Everything else would come to a standstill, but you still find yourself in a situation where at the end of the day, you may have passed something that in fact then has to be undone again by either Democrats or Republicans. It's an incredibly complicated, cumbersome process when there's a very simple process sitting out there. Sitting at the desk in the United States Senate is a bill passed by the House saying, we Democrats will raise the debt limit, take responsibility for raising, even though we didn't, some voted to acquire the debt as well. We'll go ahead and do that. That's the way to proceed.
Reconciliation or raising the debt ceiling, which position would
you take? I'm not going to cross that bridge. We have to get there.
Regarding your Build Back Better agenda, we know the top line figure for Senator Manchin is $1.5 trillion. Senator Kyrsten Sinema has yet to really give that number where she's willing to go, how high she's willing to go. But she said she's negotiating good faith with the White House. What is her ticket?
I'll let her tell you that. I don't want to. We're in negotiations.
Between 1.5 and 3.5? Is it higher at least than the 1.5?
I'm not going to negotiate in public.
Mr. President, how is what the Republicans are doing now any different from when you opposed raising the debt limit as a senator during the Bush years?
Because we were calling for filibuster. It did not require 60 votes, and it was a straight up and down vote.
Mr. President, you're talking about how you have 48 Democratic votes right now. The other two have been pressured over the weekend by activists. Joe Manchin had people on kayak show up to his boat, DLS. Senator Sinema last night was chased into a press room. Do you think that those tactics are crossing a line?
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. So it's part of the process.
A lot of people have been trying to attack immigration.
I know you don't want to comment on other senators' positions and negotiations, but what do you think the size of the reconciliation package should be? What specific dollar figures?
Well, I laid out what I thought it should be. It's not going to be that. It's going to be less. I mean, look, the legislation, both the Build Back Better piece as well as the infrastructure piece, are things that I wrote. These didn't come from, God love them, Bernie Sanders or AOC or anybody else. I wrote them. I disagreed with Medicare for All, for example. I disagreed, but I laid out what I thought would be important. For example, I think in the Build Back Better program, it's required that we, in fact, have the best education available to us, and I'll be speaking to this in detail tomorrow. But look, here's the situation. How can we, in an ever-competitive world, increasingly competitive world, how can we not meet the educational standards at least other countries are working toward? Nobody is reducing the number of years they want their children to go to school or people to go to school. You've heard me say it before, as my wife says. So if we don't, if any country out-educates us, they're going to out-compete us. Look what China's doing. Look what the rest of the world is doing. They're investing. They're also investing in things that relate to ability for people to go to work and stay at work. We have several million women who can't go back to work because they don't have any way to take care of their children. So to give a tax cut to working mom to be able to afford daycare, bad? Is that a bad idea? I think it's a darn good idea. We'll get people back to work. So there's a lot of things in the legislation we're going to be talking about across the country that I think the American people overwhelmingly support. But the idea that somehow this is somebody else's legislation, this is what I wrote.
Except a $2 trillion, say a $2 trillion reconciliation bill, would that be acceptable to you?
As you know, it's not a smart thing to negotiate with yourself in public. Let's see, we're in the process of continuing to talk to all the parties and see what we can get done.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Two questions. First, you had a progress in the negotiation, but today you only had 48 votes. So what is this progress? And another question, of course, an international news that was big yesterday about the Pandora Papers. Do you have a reaction? Do you push fight against corruption as a cause? The Pandora Papers? You said that we could fight against corruption in the core of your national security policy. So what is your reaction, and do you plan to do anything about it?
We're looking at that right now. The first part of your question was what?
Was about progress. What does progress look like in the negotiation?
Winning. That's a progress. Last question.
I just want to be very clear.
That the U.S. will not reach the debt ceiling, that will not happen?
No, it can't. That's up to Mitch McConnell.
So is it possible that the U.S. will not pay its debt? That is possible.
I can't believe that will be the end result because the consequence is so dire. I don't believe that. But can I guarantee it? If I could, I would, but I can't. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
The Senator Manchin says the deal is off. The Hyde Amendment is not included. Do you support that? Where do you stand on that, sir?
All right. The President of the United States, they are taking some questions after delivering a series of remarks about the debt ceiling limit, President saying, likening it to playing Russian roulette. Let's bring back our Ed O'Keefe for some analysis of what the president just said. Is Ed ready? Yeah, there he is. So, Ed, I thought it was really an interesting, short but interesting series of observations that the president delivered. What was your biggest takeaway?
That he's trying to get Republicans to allow this debt limit vote to occur without the threat of a filibuster. That's, if you're cutting through the morass there, that's essentially what he's trying to say to the Republicans. Back off. Let us do this with a simple majority vote if you insist on not supporting our ability to do this with majority rule in the Senate. There was a letter transmitted to him today by the Senate minority leader essentially saying, look, your party has been being a little too cavalier with the economy right now and should be buckling down and try to get this done. So the president's turning around saying, look, I'll try to talk to him about this, but what I'd like them to do is just allow us to have a simple majority vote, up or down. Do we raise the debt limit for how long and how much? And that is essentially going to be issue number one this week here in Washington. It is such a technical thing. It is such a housekeeping thing. It should be able to be done very easily. But for months, Republicans in the Senate have been saying, you can go ahead and do this, Democrats, but you're going to do it without our support, because we believe that if you're going to have one-party rule and try to ram through all the other things you're doing right now, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the partisan Build Back Better agenda, and you're going to have to raise the debt limit on your own. Democrats turn around, as the president, you heard him there say, this is to pay for things that have already been approved in the past. It's a credit card bill, in essence. And you need to work with us to do this or get out of our way and let Democrats do it on their own. That's the essential message he's trying to issue here. It's one of the first times she's spoken about raising the debt limit in recent weeks in a more formal presidential setting, which is the signal that the White House understands this needs to be done. And it comes as the majority leader, Chuck Schumer, this morning told his colleagues that they may have to stay through the weekend to get this done. He wants it done this week, not bleeding into October 18th next week and beyond, because then you could be disrupting the markets, and Democrats need that floor time in the House and the Senate to get those other things done that we've spent so much time talking about in recent days.
So why don't the Democrats just raise the debt ceiling on their own then?
They'd like to, but they keep getting blocked, and they have to throw up a cloture vote, and they have to hit that 60-vote threshold, filibuster. So that's what he's trying to say to them is, we can do this. If you insist on not helping us out, fine. But tell all your Republican members not to threaten us with a filibuster when we go to do it. Stand back and let us, as he said there, stand back and let us save the country or whatever. In essence, he's saying, if you don't want to play, fine. Let us do it with a simple up or down vote that puts you guys on the record as being against it and puts us on the record being for it. What McConnell is suggesting is that you can use that complicated reconciliation process that we spent way too much time trying to explain to people because even we don't entirely understand it, which would allow them to do it just with Democratic votes in a simple way, sort of suspending the other rules. But as you heard the president say there, it's complicated, it could take a while, and the hodgepodging back and forth between the House and the Senate could really disrupt things even more. So we'll see. They got to work this out in the coming days. The president, the majority leader, signaling they'd like to get it done this week. One way to do that is to put public pressure on Republicans to say, get out of our way, let us do it, and let's move on.
And finally, the president unwilling to negotiate in public, as he put it, with reporters asking him about the price tag. But he was also asked about folks who had followed Senator Sinema into the ladies' room protesting, people who had appeared, I guess, in and around Joe Manchin's houseboat. He actually did take some questions, answer some questions. President called it inappropriate, but he also said this is sort of what happens if you are a politician, if you're a legislator, and people have access to you unless you have the Secret Service. It's not really easy to get away from folks who want something to say.
Right, and we've seen Democrats and Republicans in recent years face angry constituents in all sorts of ways, whether it's at a town hall meeting, whether it's Mitt Romney at the Salt Lake City Airport coming back to Washington to approve the Electoral College results, whether it's Kyrsten Sinema over the weekend confronted by immigration activists. They were primarily concerned about the fact that she doesn't support doing immigration reform legislation or policy changes inside this massive bill, and the fact that, as the president pointed out, there's just two senators holding up this debate, her and Joe Manchin. Both of them have been confronted in creative ways by activists in recent days. We highlighted it in our reporting. We should point out that Kyrsten Sinema pointed out in a statement just a little while ago, they disrupted a class she was teaching at Arizona State University, where she's been teaching for several years. She said in part, yesterday's behavior was not legitimate protest. It is unacceptable for activist organizations to instruct their members to jeopardize themselves by engaging in unlawful activities such as gaining entry to closed university buildings, disrupting learning environments, and filming students in a restroom. They did follow her in, and then they followed her out. She went back to the classroom. These activists say she or her office hasn't been taking meetings with them. It is the kind of sort of liberal backlash she's going to face heading towards her 2024 reelection cycle, which is a while away, so she's got time. But it's an example of the pent-up frustration she's facing, that Manchin's facing, and that other lawmakers face for all sorts of reasons. Of course, in this day and age, when there are a record number of threats against policymakers, we don't necessarily want to see or amplify that because you never know what could happen. And to the president's point, someone like him who has Secret Service protections held at a farther remove from people like that. But I think what he was also saying is, look, this is the anger that people in our party feel, and it's time for you guys to cut a deal with us and get this done.
All right, Ed O'Keefe, thanks so much.
Take care.
Developing story for you now. The Ambassador Bridge that connects Michigan and Canada has been evacuated as police investigate possible explosives found in the area. Windsor officers on the Canadian side are urging people to avoid the area while they work to determine the credibility of the threat. Traffic is currently shut down in both directions. Meanwhile, Michigan police are warning of backed up traffic.
Some other news.
Someone you can rely, who's always on your side. That's why it's nationwide. That's why it's nationwide. Nationwide is on your side.
The quotation. Quote, because this massive accumulation of debt was predicted, because it was foreseeable, because it was unnecessary, because it was the result of willful and reckless disregard for the warnings that were given and for the fundamentals of economic management, I'm voting against the debt limit increase. Now, Madam President, that was then Senator Joe Biden in March of 2006. Right before every single Democratic senator voted against raising the debt limit and made a unified Republican government do it alone. Here's another quote. Today's fiscal mess is the inevitable outcome of policies that consistently ignored evidence and experience. My symbolic vote against raising the debt limit would have been a protest of the policies that have brought us to this point and a demand that we change course, end quote. Well, that same speaker, then Senator Biden, 2 years earlier in 2004. As Senate Republicans have made clear since last July, and as I reminded the president in a letter just this morning, his sentiments then are our sentiments now. His sentiments then are our sentiments now. For the last few weeks, Washington Democrats tried to forget that they lined up to oppose debt limit increases during unified Republican government. They pretended these votes are always bipartisan. Well, that was simply not true. So now our colleagues have moved on to yet another new argument that is equally flimsy. Now, they claim they'd be perfectly happy to handle this responsibility with 51 votes done one way, but they'd rather risk the nation's credit than doing it with 51 votes a slightly different way. Two different ways to achieve 51 votes. I'm not kidding. This is the position they're taking. The president said it today. The reconciliation procedure would be slightly more inconvenient, they said. A few more days. A few more votes, they'd rather duck. The Democratic leaders running America are saying with a straight face that the entire U.S. economy should live or die based on the procedural convenience of Washington Democrats. Now, I've got no problem using the party line process over and over and over to spend trillions and transform the country. Now, for this purpose only, they suddenly and mysteriously.
I need a new wireless plan for my business, but all of my employees need something different.
Okay, imagine this. Your mover needs a plan with a mobile hotspot. Your sales rep has to send some files.
Basically, I can pick the right plan for each employee.
Yeah.
Here, actually, President Biden is in the middle of meeting with business leaders about the debt ceiling. Here, actually, President Biden is in the middle of meeting with business leaders about the debt ceiling. I think we can listen in.
Great. And for joining me today to talk about the need to raise the debt limit. We haven't failed to do that since our inception as a country. We need to act. These leaders know the need to act. The United States pays its bills. It's who we are. It's who we've been. It's who we're going to continue to be, God willing. That's what's called the full faith and credit. The United States. Let me be clear. Raising the debt limit is paying our old debts. There's nothing to do with new spending or what may be coming this year or other years. There's nothing to do with my plans on infrastructure or building back better, both of which are paid for, but they're not even in the queue right now. It's about paying for what we owe and preventing a catastrophic event occurring in our economy. I'm glad these leaders are here to talk about the real world impact it's going to have on people and on our position in the world. Today's discussion won't be partisan. It shouldn't be. Raising the debt limit is usually bipartisan. Let me speak for myself here. I want to be clear so the American people understand what's going on. There's a Senate vote today to raise the debt limit. Traditionally, it needs only 50 votes. We were informed by our Republican friends that they had to be all Democrat votes. They weren't going to help. But okay, we'll provide 50 votes. The definition in the Democrats, we have the votes. The Democrats are willing to step up and stop this economic catastrophe if Senate Republicans will just get out of the way. But our Senate Republican friends are planning to block the vote to raise the debt limit by using the procedural power called the filibuster. To say that in plain English, it means you have to have 60 votes. When there's a filibuster, 60 votes, a supermajority, instead of 50 to get anything done. It's not right, and it's dangerous. The reason we have to raise the debt limit is in part because of the policies of the previous administration, which incurred nearly $8 trillion in bills in 4 years, some of which Democrats voted for. More than a quarter of all the debt now outstanding. We had to raise the debt limit three times when Donald Trump was president. And the Republicans moved to raise it each time, and each time the Democrats supported the effort to raise the debt. But now Republicans won't raise the debt limit despite being responsible for what the debt limit, why it has to be raised for the bills that are outstanding. They won't raise it enough through, if they don't, we're going to be defaulting on the debt that would lead to self-inflicted wounds that risk the market tanking and wiping out retirement savings and costing jobs. Defaulting on the debt, which Secretary Yellen said could happen at any day after October the 18th, we run out of money, means that Social Security benefits will stop. Salaries to service members will stop. Benefits to veterans will stop. And much more. The failure to raise the debt limit will undermine the safety of the United States Treasury securities, threaten reserve status of the dollar as the world currency and that the world relies on, downgrade America's credit rating, and result in a rise in interest rates for families, talking about mortgages, auto loans, credit cards. My friends, and there are many of my friends, the Senate Republicans' position I find to be not only hypocritical but dangerous and a bit disgraceful, especially as we're crawling our way out of a pandemic that cost America 700,000 lives thus far, and we're still battling. Our markets are rattled. America's savings are on the line. The American people, your savings, your pocketbook are directly impacted by this stunt. It doesn't have to be this way. Our Republican friends need to stop playing Russian roulette with the U.S. economy. If they don't want to do the job, just get out of the way. We'll take the heat. We'll do it. We will do it. Let us do it. Let the Democrats vote to raise the debt limit without obstruction or any further delays. House Democrats have already passed the bill that would do that, raise the debt limit and keep the government functioning. It's sitting in the United States Senate right now. For Democrats, with no help from Republicans, have the votes today to pass the debt limit. The path Republicans offer would take us right to the brink and cause irreparable economic damage, in my view. So let's vote and end this mess today. That's the only way to eliminate the uncertainty and risk that will remain for American families and our economy if we don't. Over more than 200 years, America's built this hard-earned reputation of the strongest, safest, and most secure investment in the world. That's why the United States is a financial rock the world looks to and trusts.
I need a new wireless plan for my business, but all of my employees need something different.
Okay.
right, y'all. We're back. All right. Now, as you can see there, Trump, oh my goodness. I don't know why I said Trump. I don't know if he's listening to this or not, or his people listening to this, but you know what I'm saying? Whatever. Anyways, I meant to say Biden, as you can see, with what is called the debt limit, that he is saying that it's something that they always do and they need to raise it or whatever. And who knows why he wants to raise it, because only thing that I can see that he's paying for right now is more vaccinations. So, you know, Republicans is basically, and McConnell is, I guess, the top over the Republicans. He is basically saying and letting Biden know that we're not going to help you raise the debt limit. You already then did too much. And if we raise it again this time, you're going to, like, break the United States, you know. There's going to be no Social Security. There's going to be nothing. Like, you're trying to break the United States. This is what he said. And then he says, you know, besides, there's two ways to vote on this. And the Democrats really don't need the Republicans to vote, because, you know, I remember a past situation where, you know, the situation was changed, you know. So there's another way that you could vote where you can get 51 votes and, you know, but what Biden is saying, yeah, if I do that, you know, I can do that, but you're gonna file this filibuster that's going to require me to then meet 60, and I'm not gonna need that 51. I'm gonna need 60. So, you know, what I'm trying to do is not gonna happen, because you're gonna block me anyways. And he was not begging them. He was trying to tell them, y'all need to do this, because this is what America do. Like, we are credit, you know, full faith credit company. I mean, corporation. But, you know, and then when he said that, they're really like, okay, you're saying credit, and who is this credit on? Black people's backs, who is what we're beginning to learn is the stock market is sold on the stock market, you know, through their birth certificates and anything. But anyway, we're not going to go through that. Anyways, but I'm just saying, what this you see here, obviously, he is just, you know, bullying people left and right. And, like, not only with that, he's, as we can see, this is probably for the vaccinations, and he's mandating people to take vaccinations against their rights. You know, like I said earlier, we have the 14th Amendment, right? And, you know, Justice People, if you don't know what the 14th Amendment, I'm just going to read Section 1. And basically what that says is, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state where they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now, Of course, he's the president, and we are in a state of emergency, supposedly, which I did try to go and look that up to see currently what are the laws saying on us being a state of emergency in COVID, because I don't understand why this president is don't want to let this go about these vaccinations. Like, it's beginning to look like not only are you bullying the people, but I mean, like, there are, and this is allegedly things that his son has done. His son is missing. Like, I mean, is he doing things for other countries and being bought off, and him and Fauci with these vaccinations to where, like, why is he pressing so hard to mandate these vaccinations? And he know that he can't really just make the people take the vaccinations because of our amendment rights. So what he's really trying to do is mandate that these businesses, these big corporations, actually require that their employees take the vaccination. So really, I mean, people, when are you going to wake up? You have the power. You're the employee. If you don't want to be taking vaccinations against your rights as a citizen, we should be walking out of these jobs. They're big companies. They can't stand a walkout. If they don't want to walk out, then they shouldn't be trying to be with this president. Like, it's like the veil is so thin and so gone. Like, people, you can't wake up and see what is actually going on before your eyes. Like, really, people? Like, do I have to come here and tell you and show you and grab your hand? Like, do we really need Martin Luther King? Do we need Jesus? Or do we have the power ourselves? Do you not know the power that you have within yourself? The freedom that you actually have, but you allow yourself to be controlled like puppets? Like, and then you want to follow people who are set up on pedestals, you know, and this is not against anyone. I mean, this is just pointing out the truth. And I'm not pointing out you. I'm not pointing out no one. And, you know, I'm just saying, you're following celebrities who are, when you look at the TV, all you're looking at is advanced technology of a puppet show. And you want to be a puppet and not stand up for your right as a citizen? I don't understand you people. Now, I know that, you know, a lot of people are out there and, you know, use different type of drugs or whatever, and, you know, some people are not in their right minds, but people, you can't follow people that you know are in their past, or, I mean, you can't follow people who you know may not be in their right mind. You have to have your own mind. You have to have your own self-thoughts, and if you have your own self-thoughts, you cannot sit here and tell me that you don't see anything wrong with what's going on. And you don't see the issue and the problems with him bullying people to take vaccination. It's time to stop bullying. It's been too much bullying going on. I've had to deal with it all my life. I think being a person of color, you have to deal with bullying all your life because of a system that places people in position to be to think that they're better than the next. It's time to stop bullying. It's time for people to stop thinking that I'm better than my neighbor. That I wear $100 shoes, $200 pair of jeans, so I can go around and I can be aggressive with people. I can be, irate with people, and it's okay. And nobody is supposed to take up for themselves. Like, literally, there are people that bullied me when I was young that will still try to bully me at this age now, if I allow them. Like, people, you really need to get over yourselves. It's time to stomp out the bully. And the biggest bully has been this corporation, this United States. It's time to give people their due process, pressing people to be controlled because there are billionaires who spend money on vaccinations to control people and kill people and do it with the law. Do it right there with the law. The law is allowing people to kill people. When do we actually stop this, people? When do we say enough is enough? When do we stop this? I wanted to show you the other video of him, where he was mandated the vaccinations. If you haven't seen that, you can go on YouTube. The two clips that it was like two, maybe three clips that I had on the show, you can actually go on YouTube. I'll try to drop them in the, if you go on my YouTube page, on my Facebook page. You'll see the link for tonight's show, and I'll in the comments, I'll try to put those clips to the YouTube videos that I had, and you can always go on YouTube yourself. You can also Google anything about this debt limit that's going on that is really precursor and linked to him by vaccinations and this vaccination mandate, and period. Like, I know a lot of people voted for Biden, like, and I know a lot of people did it because of them being Democratic, and I know a lot of people are Democratic because they believe that the Democrats is the right side of the, law, who's fighting for the people. To be the same way. I swear I did. Just like a couple years ago, I was adamantly. And, like right now, I can't say that just because someone is a Democrat that I wouldn't vote for them, because it depends on what that person is actually presenting on what they're going to represent the state on, So I'm not totally against anybody because they're Democratic, but what I'm saying is it's a time when you have to really take into account what's really going on and what you're really voting for, and not just voting because I'm a Democratic and I'm going to stick with the Democratic and I'm a team. And, It's really about more than just that, because if that's why you're doing it, like, you're wasting your you're really being misled and you're misleading yourself. Because, you know, and I'm not just saying that I'm a Republican, you know. I remember having, you know, lots of conversations with Republicans and couldn't understand how, you know, black people were Republicans, you know, to only find out that the Republican Party started, you know, from black people and originally is about, you know, representing the black people, you know. And it just evolved into what it is today. But I think it's mostly for the black business person. Most people who are in business, you know, vote Republican. And, you know, that's okay. But, you know, even with your business can't function without the consumer or without its employees. So if you don't care or have a care in the world on for your employees and it's all about money, it's on the borderline of you're being greedy. Like, how do we care about people when you're sick with greed, and how do we change that? How do we change it from being about the dollar? Okay, it's okay in a system if we want to have a system to where, you know, we're having the money exchanging everything, and, you know, like, if we don't really wake up tomorrow, like, the physical dollar is not going to even exist, and it's not going to even be valuable, you know, and that's why it's not going to exist anymore, because it's becoming extinct. It's not going to be valuable because how everything is going up and being raised, even with this debt limit that he's talking about. If that actually happens, that is going to be the thing that, you know, actually set it off to where, you know, the dollar is not going to have a value. That's why they're trying to prevent that from happening. So people, like, you really got to dig in and get to understand the process of what's really going on politically, and not just being with these state representatives because they're your friends, and stop just voting for them and, you know, riding for them just because they're your friends and your family, and you're not standing up for the right thing, because these things affect you. If you're for the shit, like, you are a part of it. Like, you can't say that you're for the right things and you're not telling your people, you know, what's wrong and what's right. So, like, people, we have to get it together. We have to get it together. So I'm not going to, you know, take up a lot of your time tonight. This is the first show. I want us to stomp out this bully, you know, first of all. And, you know, like, it's time, people. It's time. It's obviously time, because before I even, you know, came on the show, I just had an idea of the show, you know, and it starts showing up in the media, you know. So, like, it's been time to stop bullying. Like I said, I've been bullied all my life, and, you know, sometimes, like, even by my mom, you know, and if I allow it, she will still try to do it. There are, you know, past people who bullied me when I was young in the community that I stay in. Like, if I allow them to, they will bully me. So it's time to stand up to the bullies. It's time to stomp out the bullies and start by stomping out Biden, this Biden-Harris administration. We got to bring the truth to the light and stand with our sword of truth and Liberty Bell will ring. If this is what this country is for or about, are you really a citizen? Are you really for the country? Like, people, it's really getting, it's getting serious. It's been past serious, as you can see. And, like, our president don't want to let us get out of this pandemic. Like, it's borderline to him being the worst president ever. Like, how can he come back? Like, his morale is dropping. It's in the numbers, their own self numbers that they do. Like, why is he pushing so hard for this? Like, it's beginning to look, like I said again, like, you know, he needs to be taken to court. We need our due process. All this money you're spending, you want to raise the money, but you don't want to give us reparations. That's what it's about. Do you know that he walked a reparations meeting that was, they was telling him that it's time for Black Americans, African Americans to get reparations? Like, it goes deeper, y'all. The rabbit hole goes deeper. But, you know, I'm going to let you go tonight. I really appreciate everyone coming through tonight. I really love bringing these shows to you. And if anyone would like to bless me with donations, you can at $MaryJFox. And I really appreciate you all. And I really want to keep bringing these shows to you. I know I was going for a while every week, but, like, y'all, I have 8 kids. I have a husband. I have trying to do things for the people, for you all. And I want to bring this information to you all. So if you all are down with me and you want to keep seeing these shows and you also – want to I'll be bringing products to you all. I also you can go on my page on Facebook, Mary Fox. You can go also to my other page, Mary Health and Beauty. You'll see products on there. I have detox teas for you. I have makeup, anything for your body, mint lotion. It's all there. Just hit the links. Just hit the links. I appreciate you all. Appreciate you all. I love you all. It's been real, and I'll be seeing you on the 4th Monday of this month. Let me see, y'all. Let me go to my calendar. On the 25th, that's when I'll see you all again. Until then, it's been real. I love you all. Love, peace. And you all have blessed days, time, week on this earth. And stay blessed and stay positive and be good. Let's stomp out the bullying. Let's get to work. You know, it don't matter if you're church, you're spiritual, it don't matter your religion, because that doesn't matter. Anything that I speak about, it's all across the board. This is not to anybody, but to every guy. So it's time, y'all, and I'll be here, and I'll be bringing it to you. We're going to have some great shows, so keep coming, and see you later. Bye.
I can make you feel the magic, fantastic. Niggas can't get this, can't have it. You can get it all, because I give it all.
If I'm feeling down, you won't let me fall. No matter where I'm at, you can call. No matter what you did, you can't take me off. Uh-oh, not at all. No, not at all. I've been through a lot, no, I reflected on you. Do that when they not want more, cause I want from you. I need you by my side, you always know what to do. Unless it's deja vu, and I knew you in a parasite that I had before. Reminiscing the scent of the way you tie me on. Never tripping on issues if we could sleep some more. It was hard trying to love, but I learned it though. Give you all of my trust, cause you earned it all. I know you feel the spark going on and on and on and on. You make it for the magic, fantastic. Niggas can't get this, can't have it. You can't get it. No matter where I'm at, you can call. No matter what you did, you can take me off. Not at all. I'd be busy, but I like to spend my time with you. That is what you make it, I wanna spend mine with you. Damn, passport, porn, dashboard, fire, you just said you ain't asked for it, so you get more. I know that it's people wishing bad on us. I get to see the side, you don't know no one. But I'm good, no way, get so wet. Keep going, you always keep me up, and I get no. Ain't no questions, let me know. Time is time again, you let it go. I don't ever got enough for a dog. I can make it to the bad, fantastic. Niggas can't get this, can't have it. You can't get it all, cause I give it all. If I'm feeling down, you won't let me fall. No matter where I'm at. No, not at all.